Blog Talk Radio.
Women have the power to transform this world. We can end crime and violence if we all agree to do one thing: share. Let's share our wisdom, share our time, share our talents, share our finances, but most of all, let's share our love. This is the Female Solution. Join me, Naima Latif, every morning, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Standard Time, as we bring you stimulating discussions about the issues affecting our lives. If you're listening online at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution, press the blue button that says follow and get our daily topics every morning directly to your email and your smartphone.
Hi, I'm Naima Latif, executive producer of the Female Solution Radio Show. We invite you to call in 515-605-9325 and participate in this daily think tank as we examine the challenges we face and develop solutions that restore peace and harmony. We are global transformers, changing the world from the way it is to the way it should be. We are one. Wherever we live on this earth, we are one human family. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to extend a greeting to all the members of our family, whenever and wherever you may be listening around the world. To our family in China, Ni Hao. In India, Namaste. In Japan, Konnichiwa. In Korea, Annyeonghaseyo. In Russia, Zdravstvuyte. In Germany, Guten Tag. In Poland, Dzień dobry. In France, Bonjour. In Spain, Hola. In Italy, Ciao. In Egypt, Ahlan wa sahlan. In Ghana, Akwaaba. In Nigeria, Peleo. In South Africa, Sawubona. In Senegal, Nanga Def. In Kenya, Jambo. In Israel, Shalom. In Pakistan, Afghanistan, and Saudi Arabia, Assalamu alaikum. Greetings, and may peace be upon you all. Hi, I'm Naima Latif. Join me and my co-host Kareem Hamid every Wednesday morning, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. on the Female Solution Radio Show as we explore that relationship that is the foundation for our society, the relationship between men and women, husbands and wives. Join our discussion as we seek to repair broken family ties and rebuild our community. Listen online at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution. Call in and comment 515-605-9325. Press 1 to speak to our host. Or you can join us live on Facebook at www.facebook.com/the-female-solution.
Of
men who are willing to tell the truth about a very painful discussion, a very painful issue for many of them, who may have decided that marriage just isn't for them because of all the things that they have experienced in life. And yet marriage is a foundation of our society and definitely of our economy. So what do we do to deal with the issues that they raise? We'll be right back after this quick break. So they can stay. Don't stray away. And call in, men, 515-605-9891. That's 515-605-9891. And women, we're going to, during the break, have a little reflection. So you call in, 515-605-9325. But men, make sure you call in at 515-605-9891. And we'll be back in a moment. So stay with us. The Female Solution Global Radio TV Show invites you to an invigorating conversation with our team of hosts Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Time. Start your week with Monday morning mindfulness with Zelda Speaks. Tuesdays, self-care with Jody Susan. Wednesdays, repairing broken families with Naima Latif and co-host Kareem Hamid. Thursdays, soulful solutions with Dr. Debbie Green. And Fridays, health and well-being with Beata. Saturdays, tune in 12 noon to 2 p.m. Central Time. First Saturday, Success Strategies with Jana. Second Saturday, Wendy Williams Esquire on Relationships. Third Saturday, Move Around with Deborah. And fourth Saturday, Wisdom with Mama D. Join us Sundays, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Central Time for Soul Purpose Healing with Beata. Call in and comment, 515-605-9325. Press 1 to speak to the host and be a part of the solution.
Naima, I have opened up your mic. Take your phone off of mute if it's on mute.
Correct.
Okay, maybe she would.
Okay. Can you hear me now? Are you able to hear me now?
Yes, I can hear you. You're a little faint, but I can hear you.
Make sure I have my volume turned all the way up and have our audience. We've got our Facebook audience, and we've got some callers on our switchboard who'd like to join your conversation. So area code 863, I'm going to let you know, I'm going to let the host know that you're on so that you can join this discussion. And we'll be hearing from Dr. Dorrance Kennedy and Warren Houston. And if you can also have those guests that are on your switchboard that speak to say their names and give me the spelling as well, and we'll make sure that we have their names up on the screen for our Facebook and YouTube viewers as they speak on this topic of the aversion to marriage. And women are listening. They'd like to know, brothers, why are so many men against marriage? Is it the system? Is it the women? Is it the bad memories from past relationships? Well, we're going to sit back and listen as you give us your take on it. And knowing that marriage is the foundation of our society and definitely of our economy, we have to figure out how to fix what's broken. So I'm going to step back and give you the floor, Brother Kareem. And for those who are on your
table,
please press 1 so the host can see your number. And if you're watching us on Facebook, feel free to share your comments for our viewing audience. And women, I want you to give me a call at 515-605-9325. And during the break, we'll take a look at what we heard and see what you think and maybe what we're learning. But men, we're going to stay out of your way and let you have your say. Go right ahead.
Alhamdulillah. Thank you, Naima Latif. Praise be to Almighty God for you. I see we have Imam Shahir Beya, he is linked into my line. He's having telephone problems this morning with his new phone. So he is already connected. I see our brother, let me see, yes. I don't see Warren Houston. I thought he was here with us. Yes, we have our brother Warren Houston is here. I recognize his number. And I'll ask Shahir Beya, Imam Shahir Beya, would he introduce himself to the listening audience in an abbreviated? he is well accomplished, but we ask if we would abbreviate our introductions this morning for the sake of time. Imam Shahir Beya, if you would, please introduce yourself to the Female Solution audience.
Yes, sir. Assalamu alaikum and good morning. My name is Imam Shahir Beya. I'm way of St. Louis, Missouri. I work in human services. I'm a case manager, a youth advocate, a judicial advocate. And I work at institutions with youth and young adults that are, you know, facing incarceration or perhaps have been in incarceration. I also do a wide variety of mentoring and counseling in and outside of the community of Muslims. So praise be to Allah. Been a Muslim since the early 90s. And my whole purpose and goal in this endeavor is to be a better Muslim and to be a better human being. And inshallah to share that. So I'll just conclude with that, alhamdulillah.
All right. Thank you, Shahir Beya. Alhamdulillah. Now up next is Warren Houston. If you would, give us an abbreviated introduction of yourself to the Female Solution, if you would, please.
Well, good morning. Pretty much, I guess I don't feel like a stranger. I've been here many times and many times and many times before, but yes, this is Warren Houston, Houston, Texas, the People's Law Study Group. And so it's always an honor and a pleasure to grace this platform and share my thoughts and opinions on different topics and subjects. So I'm just glad to be here.
Yes, sir. Thank you. If there is anyone on your line, Naima, you can open up their mic. I don't see Dr. Dorrance Kennedy with us on the AM360 line, and I'll allow him to introduce himself if he's on your line. I see someone else that raised their hand. I'm not sure if this is our brother. I have his number here, but I'm looking for Askia Hanin. And I'm looking for Dr. Dorrance Kennedy. Let me open up this mic to see if this is either one of you. 910-868.
Yes, good morning. This is Dorrance Kennedy. How are you doing today?
Oh, fine. I'm fine. Let me correct. Okay, I see your number here. My bad, as they say. Yes, would you give an abbreviated introduction of yourself to the Female Solution audience, if you would, please?
Yes, great to be with you today. My name is Dorrance Kennedy. I'm originally a native of New Orleans. I currently live in North Carolina. I'm a college professor and social worker and minister and motivational speaker, and I recently published my first book, Wisdom from My Father's Porch, A Guide to Young Black Men, and glad to be with you today.
Oh, thank you. All right, praise be to Almighty God. Let me introduce what the subject matter is this morning, and I believe it is a very serious matter that I believe we as men should discuss with each other. It is an aversion to marriage, Now, it's not just it's not just males that are expressing a reluctance to marry. And it's not just any ethnic group, but I'm quite sure the majority that are connected here this morning are of the original descent. I use the word original because we seem to have a problem to identify ourselves. And based upon science and anthropology and scientific and historical fact that the human beings originated on the so-called continent of Africa. So I'm working to supplant that color code of black, or whatever. I'm choosing to suggest to us, if we give it some thought, to use the word original. That is science, it is backed by science and anthropology. So I will interchangeably use those definitions. I'm getting used to it myself. Praise be to God. But I want to first share with you some words from our beloved leader, Dr. Martin Luther King, since we are men assembled here. And if we would listen carefully to his words, I believe it will serve us well at this time. So let me see if I can get his words started.
I come here tonight and plead with you. Believe in yourself and believe that you're somebody. As I said to the group last night, nobody else can do this for us. No document can do this for us. No Lincolnian Emancipation Proclamation can do this for us. No Kennesawian or Johnsonian Civil Rights Bill can do this for us. If the Negro is to be free, he must move down into the inner resources of his own soul and sign with a pen and ink of self-assertive manhood his own emancipation proclamation. Don't let anybody take your manhood. Be proud of our heritage. As somebody said earlier tonight, we don't have anything to be ashamed of. Somebody told a lie one day. They couched it in language. They made everything black, ugly, and evil. Look in your dictionary and see the synonyms of the word black. It's always something degrading and low and sinister. Look at the word white. It's always something pure. Ah, please. But I want to get the language right tonight.
Okay, and we are back. I hope that we take note of that he asked that we not let anyone take our manhood away from us. And this subject matter of the aversion of marriage, as I stated, it's not just all male, but I'm hearing a lot from the males concerning an aversion to marriage. I want to share with you some statistics that I looked up yesterday based upon a comparison from the year 1960 to the year 2008. And this is concerning those that are in the sacred institution of marriage. In 1960, roughly 74% of Caucasians were married, and the rate dropped to 56% in 2008. That is a big drop. but not compared to the plummeting marriage rate for the original people, for African Americans. In 1960, 61% of the original people of the African Americans were married in 1960. That 61% were married in the year 1960. But by 2008, it was only 32%. Also, it is found that African Americans also get divorced more often and remarry less frequently than their Caucasian counterparts. I want to allow Sahir, if he would, address what he thinks of the aversion to the sacred bonds of marriage. You already linked in to my phone. If you would speak, please, we would greatly appreciate your contribution, inshallah.
Yes, sir. Praise be to God. You started with something that's very profound for us as people, and that's numbers. Right? Numbers don't lie. And when you look at the trend of what was taking place during that era of time up until present day, you'll notice that there has been a social dynamic shift. You know, when you talk about the amount of couples that were married in the early 60s, late 50s, early 60s, and it gradually declined up until modern times. Part of the reason of that is, you got a few factors, and I won't try to name them all, but one is obviously the feminist movement played a big part into how we were, the home structure, the home dynamic was structured, the socioeconomic shift with women starting to make as much, in some cases more than men. Then you had the welfare system who diabolically infiltrated homes out of the sake of necessity and made the male something that was not a contributory nature, right? Having him married was not a good thing in regards to having the necessary financial backing from the government versus the male influence in the home and even the common respect between man and woman. You know, if he didn't have a job or if he was dealing with a lot of other issues that came out of, you know, having been at, say, Vietnam War and beyond, because we're talking about periods of time, right, and it's progression up until now. And then you fast forward into the crack era, right, and you can go on and on, you know, and see how governmental laws and the social paradigm, the shift in the social paradigm, all of that has contributed to, first, the change in what was considered traditional family structure, right, and then the socioeconomic shift in terms of the man and the woman and the respect within the home for the male and the female respecting each other, not respecting roles. And so you have a myriad of factors that play into why men and women are now like, you know, it's not even advantageous for me to be married, but more so to have social relations or to shack up or to be casual and not have that traditional structure that had worked for us for so long, even during the time of slavery. And so with that, I'll yield. I don't want to consume too much time because I know we have other panelists, you know, so I'll yield with that better now.
Okay, thank you, Imam Sahir Bia. We'll move now to our brother Warren Houston. If you could address the issue, the aversion to marriage. Let me state this here, that you noticed I used the Caucasian race. They have their numbers have dropped precipitously. And also among us, it has drastically dropped. This is a phenomenon, praise be to Allah, that tends to have not in the institution itself, praise be to God, the institution itself has been negatively affected. We are aware of social engineering and all of that, but when it boils down to a low gravy, that the relationship between two individuals and you know what their perception of each other and entering into the sacred bond of marriage, that institution is under attack, and I believe that it is under attack across the board, praise be to Allah, but some are affected more negatively than others. If you would share with us, Warren Houston, your commentary on the aversion of marriage.
Well, I think Brother Sabir Bey gave a dynamic answer to that question. But if I could add to it, the only thing that I would say is that where we are now, based on from the civil rights movement to now, based on the feminist or the women's movement and the socioeconomic changes that we went through, what it has done, I think it has made us, we have to sit back, look at it, and reevaluate it and get a better understanding on exactly what marriage is based on what we were used to. What we defined it as is no more. And so the question that I would basically look at now is it the marriage that we were operating in, was it an illusion? No, I do know that from experience that children having both parents in the home definitely has a greater impact positively on a child than basically growing up with one parent in the home. I consider myself so much of a victim that although having a stepfather in the home, we were never really close. And so being 50 years old today, I see the impact of those things in my life. But back to what I was saying, basically I think it has made us reevaluate it to try to better understand it. What is marriage? Does it actually go with the Western definition of what it's supposed to be? And so that's basically what I look at is actually understanding what it is. Is it even normal for a person to be with one mate their whole life? So I think it has brought up a point of redefining it or better understanding it.
All right. Thank you for your valuable commentary. Praise be to Almighty God. Thank you. And we shall return back to each assembled guest we have here. I want to now ask Dr. Dorrance Kennedy if he would give his summation or his opinion on the aversion of the sacred institution of marriage, if you would, please, my brother.
Yes, so I just wanted to agree with what the other brothers have said and many others before us have said. So I think as far as men go, black men, it comes down to, of course, the mass incarceration fueled by the war on drugs and the changes in the economy. In the past, it was possible for black men to go to the construction site or the steel mill, the auto plant, and get a good paying job, even if they did not have the opportunity to go to college. So I think the changes that we've seen in the economy, the war on drugs, the mass incarceration are huge factors. The welfare system, where they had requirements that in order for the sister to receive the consistent welfare check, she had to marry the government. She had to decide to marry Uncle Sam, as opposed to marrying the brother that might have been a good man but maybe was not getting paid every week or things of that nature. And beyond that, I think with men and women in the world that we're living in, I think we're living in a society that just has a problem with commitment. So I think even those of us that have gotten married, some of us enter the relationship with the thought in the back of our mind, if this doesn't work out, you know, I can always upgrade. I can always get out of it. I can upgrade for a younger and better model or better or younger mate. So I think you see this even in sports with free agency. There was a time when we could identify certain players with certain teams, but now because of free agency, these guys will jump from team to team in a heartbeat. So marriage is a struggle for two to become one, and it's going to take a lot of communication, negotiation, sacrifice. But I think across the board, we want an easy solution. We want the problems to be solved quickly. And I think there is just a commitment with a problem with commitment in our society across the board.
Yes, sir. Thank you for your commentary. I want to now place some important public service announcements. Naima?
Yes, I was just saying it's time for a break. And you have a couple of callers on the switchboard.
Would you want to bring them in now, or shall we pause for some public service announcements?
Yeah, we'll pause then after the break.
After the break, we look forward to hearing from the guests on your switchboard, inshallah, God willing. Okay. We pause now for station identification and some important public service announcements. You're listening to American Muslim 360, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation. This is the broadcast of the Female Solution, a component of the community-wide Shura Conference. So I ask you,
unmuted.
The call is on her switchboard. Naima? Naima Latif? Okay, she may still be sharing public service announcements on her line. But I'm grateful for what you have shared thus far, Sahir Beya, Dr. Dorrance Kennedy, and Warren Houston. Praise be to Almighty God. This is a very serious topic. The commitment.
We're back.
We should have a, yes. Okay, you are back with us, Naima. Yes. If there are guests on your line, if you would introduce them to us, we look forward to hearing their commentary on this subject matter, the aversion of marriage.
Okay, area code 863-816. Introduce yourself to our listening and viewing audience. And Brother Kareem, go right.
Yeah, L.A. from, since this is Black History Month, I'm 45 minutes away from Eatonville, Florida, which is 6 miles outside of Orlando, Florida, the oldest black township built by former slaves in the state of Florida, and probably they're the oldest black township in the United States. So that's where I'm at right now, about 45 minutes away from it. Just real quickly, I'm all for marriage, but I'm not for a state regulated marriage that comes with a marriage license. I don't need the government. Because once you get that marriage license, you've invited the government into your relationship. So I don't need that. And then the second thing is, since I'm in the United States right now as we speak, over on a critical mass basis, there are plenty of exceptions to this rule. The United States breeds alpha females. And I really don't want to be – I'll be a friend with an alpha female, but I don't want to intimate relationship with an alpha female. So I basically, overall, most of the women that I've dated over the last 20 years, they don't even live in the United States. So I'll just book my ticket and go to them. So I'll land my plane right there. Did you hear me?
Yes. What, does that come?
Yes. Yeah, that, yeah, yeah.
That,
yeah.
Complete
when I, yeah, yeah, that completes my comment, yes.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Thank you. Alhamdulillah. Which means all praise is due to Almighty God.
You got one more caller?
I was having a...
one more
I was
caller.
Having a conversation with a female a few days ago, and she was mentioning how some people prefer to just have a contractual marriage, you know, a contract drawn up, and with no government connections with that. I'm speaking to that a part of what you were sharing with us. My question is, where is the enforcement? Where does the enforcement come from of the contract? A couple may write a contract and be well-meaning and all of that, and get it notarized. That notarizing it leans toward a legal document.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if one party breaks the contract, where does the enforcement come from? What is the penalty of breaking the contract, and who will enforce for me, now this is my own opinion, that too many times we can have a reservation in our hearts and minds, a reservation. We leave the back door open while committing to another person. But is that a full commitment, or do we have reservations that I can step out of this at any time? At any time. Yes, I'm marrying you, but am I really marrying you? Because I have a reservation, and I'm leaving the back door open, that if I become displeased, I can step out of this. Now, my question is, what is the enforcement mechanism for enforcing? What are the penalties of the contract? Marriage is not, when we enter into marriage, it is with the intent of living my life with that person. Living my life with that person. Now, if I have a reservation, then I shouldn't enter into marriage with that person. So sometimes a marriage has to be recorded somewhere, and there has to be an enforcement mechanism, even by way of inheritance and all of that. So this idea, this aversion to marriage, seems to me to be, this is only my own opinion, leaving the back door open, whereby at any time I can step from out of that union, and there will be no repercussions coming behind that. Also, there are trust issues. We have trust issues, and corruption is not a gender-based position to be in, being untrustworthy, being non-truthful, it is not gender-based. It is male and female. And some young men have stated some of the bad consequences that they have seen after the dissolution of marriage. Some men and women have been left destitute, ruined financially. So seeing that, sometimes that puts trepidation within them concerning entering into a legitimate, committed relationship that we call the sacred bonds of marriage. I see we have someone else have raised their hand, and I want to acknowledge them, Erico, 312-879. Please state your name and where you're calling from, please. 313-879. Okay, I'm closing your mic. Maybe you inadvertently didn't intend to press one on your phone.
If I could, I would like to speak to that question you just asked.
Yes, sir, please do.
First, let's talk about, and that kind of leads to what L.A. was saying and what the question that you're asking now is kind of lead to what I was saying earlier about redefining what marriage really is. Now, to understand marriage in America, you know, I grew up in church, and, you know, a lot of times preachers would get up and they would preach against common law marriage and not really knowing what they were talking about. So they pretty much formed their members to go and get a marriage license from the state. And as L.A. said, you know, basically when you go to the state and request a marriage license, you actually just put the state in bed with you because you've asked for their permission to get married. Common law, anything under common law is that which is common to man. So people, if you go back and look at the history of marriage in America, before there was any such thing, the marriage license did not come, was not prevalent or available or relevant until the 1920s. Before the 1920s, there was no such thing as a marriage license. A couple got together, they put on whatever ritual they decided to do as far as in being married, and they wrote their names in the family Bible, and it was accepted they were a married couple. The only reason the certificate or the licensing came into effect in the 1920s was to stop blacks and whites from marrying. So even right now today, in 2022, probably pretty much in any state of the union, if you get married and within the first 30 days you decide, well, we're not going to be together, we can't make it, we want to get a divorce, and you go before the judge to get what we call an annulment, one of the first questions that the judge will ask you is, has this marriage been consummated? So if the answer is no, well, then if the marriage hasn't been consummated, then you all are not married in the first place, regardless of any certificate. So this is what I mean by going back and redefining marriage. The next question you asked about the contractual agreement, and this is what people do not understand. We have a right to contract. Marriage is a business, and we're not looking at it as such. I know I didn't. I wasn't taught to do that. I looked at it as I was the romantic. Maybe my concept of marriage was shaped by Hollywood. I grew up listening to Slick Rick talking about a teenage love, and LL Cool J, I Need Love, and had a misconception of what it was all about. So it is a business. So if you do have the right to contract your own business, so that as far as who enforces it, a marriage is whatever the two parties agree upon. And basically when you're talking about that, you're more so looking at the financial aspects of the marriage and what kind of benefits it's going to bring. If one party violates the contract based on what you all have agreed, then you have a right to sue the other party. It's that simple. So it's a simple.
Where would you sue them at? Well, if I may, where would you take them to sue them at?
You would sue them in the state courts of your
from.
You would sue them in the state courts of where you preside. Because
right.
It is a contract.
Right.
You would sue them in the civil courts. They have it's just like any other contract.
Mm-hmm. And it is enforced by the laws of that governing body.
Well, if you have your own contract as opposed to, as long as it's not breaking the law, but if you have your own contract as opposed to getting a marriage license, that contract is enforceable.
And enforced by, that's my question. Enforced by who?
Well, I'm answering your question. If the contract is violated, you have a right to take that contract and sue within the state courts of where you preside.
Thank you. You are definitely correct. So there is no separation between state and the well-being of the citizens in that state. You will take them to the state to enforce the articles of the contract.
Every man, if I may.
Yes, sir. If you would, please, everyone, you please speak up. Your mics are open. Let me make sure the mics are open. This is us having a conversation with each other. Yes, sir. If you would, please, Sahir.
Yes, sir. So, I don't think there's a right and wrong in it. And so what I'm hearing from a legal standpoint, what my dear brother was just expressing, and being your concern in regards to the enforcement of any said contract, I think what the brother and then Brother Elliot himself alluding to is the fact that when you construct your own contract, you have the power of specificity in that contract. And so, for instance, when you talk about the well-being of the male and the female, right, and whatever that contractual agreement is, before you even enter into the contract is discussed. You know, what do we do in terms of inheritance? What do we do about children? What do we do about properties and legacies and things of that nature? And because some of us who are coming in, we already have children and adult children, so we already have certain assets that we want to will to our children. And then we want to make sure, too, that their spouse is being provided for. So in the terms of that contract, we're saying that you have access to an insurance policy in the event that if I leave here, that you'll be covered for $250,000, $500,000, $100,000, whatever you can afford. That's in the contract. You also have in the contract stipulations of terms under the breach of contract. So infidelity, and things of that nature, you know, anything that shows any type of deception on your part, like hiding money, or stealing money, and things that's not agreed upon, you have the power of specificity when you construct your own contract and not go up under the general umbrella of the law. Because once you go up under the general umbrella of the law, then you're subjecting yourself to child support and then alimony and all of these other business aspects of that that's clocked into that. That's an entire business from family court to counseling that you have to go to. What else? Alimony, child support, liquidation of assets. Like all of this stuff has, and then the lawyers. The lawyers are going to get paid through the entire process. The lawyers are eating you up, man. I've been divorced since 2017. Do you know that I'm still in family court? I'm just sharing some of my personal history. Still in family court. I've been separated since 15, legally divorced since 17. Here it is, 22, still fighting. But had I did it the way that these brothers are suggesting, it would have gave me a lot more, I don't want to say wiggle room. That's a horrible term. But it would have gave me, it wouldn't have had me so bound up. Let's just put it that way. You know, the relationship has been over, but yet I'm still paying for and fighting, paying lawyers, fighting for custody, and et cetera, et cetera. And I've been out of relationships since so I understand from their perspective what they're saying, but I do too also understand what you're saying, Brother Man, in regards to protecting both parties. And I think that a well-constructed contract, a well-defined contract with an understanding of this is a business that will take it. So outside of the emotional connection, outside of the bubbly feeling in our stomach about each other, what is going to happen in the event that one of us leave her or we no longer feel that way?
And so the protection lies therein in your construction of that contract. And I'll yield with that.
Yes, sir.
But Brother Green, very quickly, because I do know there's other people I don't want to take up all the time, but just to give you even more insight of how that works, when you die, okay, there's two types of construction. Yes. Of course, most black people get a will. But when you die, you have two ways to handle your estate. One way is by the way of what's called a will, and the other one is called a trust. Now, a will is pretty much the civil route of handling things. It is by way of the courts. Even though you've written up your last will and testament and you say you want to do this and that with your property, well, your will can be contested, you know, in spite of what you've already put in it, and it could be completely changed at your death. And even though you have given your assets to those your friends and loved ones, if you owe anyone, your debtors or their creditors, rather, they're going to be called into court first. And so they will take your estate and pay them before anyone of your loved ones or family get anything. So this is a state manufactured way of handling your last will and testament. Then there's also what's known as a trust. A trust is not a public court document. It is a private document that is written up that is not even handled in the courts. So when you pass on, you set up a person who's called an executor to handle your last will and testament or your last affairs, and it doesn't even go to a court. It's handled as a trust. It is a private written document, and it's totally legal. Prime example, give you a prime example of both. Prince Rogers Nelson died in, 2017? They just finished, and he died without a will, period. But they just finished probating his estate. His estate started out at 380-something million. I think they just finished probating maybe 2-3 months ago. It's down to 100-something million dollars that the state of Minnesota and the courts and the attorneys have ate up, okay? Nelson Mandela, when he died, who had a trust, his wife, because she had been married so many years, but because they divorced before he died, was completely written out of his estate. She went to the South African government when they got ready to have the trust meeting as to how his assets were going to be divvied up. She demanded access to that meeting. The South government denied her request because it is a trust. It is private, and the law cannot change that. So this is the thing what we're bringing out between a contractual marriage as to the contract that two people sit down and write up themselves, as opposed to stepping over and asking the state for its marriage license and certificate. That's what we're explaining.
Yes, sir. The marriage becomes a public recording of the marriage.
Yes.
Yes. Now, let me get right to the hub of my assessment of why there is a aversion to marriage. You are using the word trust. That is very important in the sacred institution of marriage, is trust. If you do not trust the one that you're getting ready to marry, if that is absent, then, you know, I would suggest don't marry. I mean, we make choices. Don't marry that particular person. But there are people that have the ingredient of trust within them. So the choices that we make, no one chose that mate for you. You made that choice to marry that individual. And if you don't trust him, then there's a deficit at the outset of that contract. Praise be to God, of that contractual marriage. We are mentioning, and which is a fact, we're mentioning economics. finances, and all that comes with that. So I hope that there are young men listening to this conversation, because too many of them are saying, I'm not going to get married. This is a sacred institution. I mean, this is an important aspect of our human life, the coming together of the male and female to reproduce children, to establish healthy families and healthy communities. I believe that lack of trust, of trusting one another, is somewhat hindering the acceptance and joining into the sacred matrimony. I have heard a lot of statements on things that the male must do. He should have this. He should be this way. He should be that way. But I'm hearing very little conversation on what the female should be also.
Brother, can I make a comment?
I'll stop right there. Yes, sir. Go ahead, please.
I'm so happy for you to use the word sacred in this conversation, because I have not been hearing that. But I think that we cannot really talk about this without getting into the historical and spiritual side. So I think with black people, with the transatlantic slave trade, where 12 million of our people came to the United States, and one thing, you just mentioned a woman, one thing we forget is that a lot of sisters that came in slavery were married in Africa. And they, you know, that relationship was not acknowledged, was not recognized. They came here and they were raped and sexually molested. And, of course, black women over generations saw that their man could not protect them from the rape, from the sexual molestation, from the selling of their children. So I think because of our historical oppression, there has developed a mistrust between black men and black women. So when we talk about these things, I think we have to put it in historical context. The slave trade, the welfare system, we also live in a sexually saturated society. So with birth control pills and contraceptives and condoms, sex is readily available. Sex is just another commodity. So I think those that are of us that are spiritual or try to be spiritual, whether Islamic, Christian, or other religious traditions, you know, there's something very sacred about being committed to one person, to go through the struggle and the pain of trying to be in unity with one person. And even when it comes to the sexual aspect of the relationship, as we get older, we all start to gain weight and things start to sag on our bodies. And when we are naked before our partners and fully accepted and received by our partners, there is something deeply spiritual to that. So I just think in this conversation, you know, we're talking about contracts and different things like that, and that's all relevant. But we cannot talk about the conversation without considering the historical oppression that has caused distrust between the black man and woman, the slave trade, the mass incarceration, the war on drugs, the Maafa, and then the spiritual aspect, living in a sexually saturated society. So if we began having sexual relationships at the age of 12 and 13, when we get to the point where we might think of being married in our late 20s, early 30s, or whatever, we've been sexually active for 14 and 15 years, and it makes it difficult for people to be committed to one person because they have the memories of all these past sexual partners in their minds and spirits. So I'll stop right there.
Yes, sir. Thank you. for that is most important part of this conversation, the coming together of the male and the female in a trusting, committed relationship. And we didn't create ourselves. We are creatures of creation, Almighty, that I believe that there is a creator, and that he have created us. And we cannot leave out the spiritual aspect of the sacred bond of marriage. Let me say this. We harken back to the experience of slavery, but from a historical standpoint, and this is documented, that let's say the woman is sold off. She is married to her husband, and she is the slave master still has her or him as his property, and he can sell one of those members to another slave master, even in another state. It has been recorded that upon the signing of the Emancipation Proclamation that formerly enslaved men and women, they would sometimes walk to where they believed that their mate had been sold off to. He would seek her out, or she would seek her husband out, or they would seek out a member of their family, the children, and they would rejoin with them. That was responding to the sacred connection of blood relationships. I must say that slavery failed at the dissolution of the heart connected to the family members. So, yes, slavery was horrendous. But many people sought out their mate. I mean, if they were sold if they resided in Alabama and one mate was sold in Memphis, Tennessee, it is recorded that many, many of the enslaved people sought out their mate. And I was raised from 1948 up till now. And the majority of the households in the neighborhood in which I lived were two-headed households, male and female, husband and wife. I shared this, the statistics from 1960 to the year 2008. In 1960, roughly 74% of Caucasians were married. And the rate dropped to 56% in 2008. Now, that's a big drop, but not compared to the plummeting marriage rate for the original people, the African Americans. In 1960, 61% of African Americans were married in 1960. But by 2008, it was only 32%. African Americans also get divorced more often and remarry less frequently than Caucasians. What happened from slavery up to the year 1960? What happened from the year 1960 to our present state, our present condition?
Welfare, mass incarceration, the war on drugs, and the birth control and
not
the
only that,
of sex.
Yes, sir. Not only that, yes, all of those were contributing factors, but a picture is worth a thousand words. The mass media
The mass media, they made movies and wrote books and plays that portrayed the African-American male as a player, a pimp and a player, the Mac and all of that. And with women, they made movies like Foxy Brown, short micro mini skirt on, they displayed the rough or physical side of the woman, and they misrepresented the male, the attributes of the male. And we were not mature enough to resist the pull of that mass media that portrayed men as players, the Mac and all of these things, pimps. And this occurred with that era called sexual liberation, the birth control pill, and all of that, that you can just no worries, just treat this as your pleasure thing, as a recreation. And we became grown boys.
Pardon me, time for a break.
And our women, unfortunately, tried to live up to the image that was placed in front of her. Now, the result of that have displayed before us the terrible ramifications of that, and we equate that with being married. If we redefine ourselves and who and what we truly are, we're not pimps. We're not players. Why women are not hot mamas. They are not that weave in their hair. They are not those fake eyelashes. They are not that which is wrapped in scantily clad clothing. That is not who we really are. And this is not just happening among us. This is happening across the board. And so that distrust, that cheating on each other have been witnessed by our children, and they come to erroneous conclusions concerning the sacred bond of marriage. If we get back to that sacred bond of marriage, then inshallah, we can, God willing, we can resist these images that take us away from the sacred bond of husband and wife. We should not be just looking at her, at him or her exterior, their physicality, but we are more than that. We are housed within those bodies. There's a character, there's a soul, there's a spirit living inside of that body. So I'll curtail my statements, if you would, Imam Sahir Bega.
Yes, sir. Praise be to God.
Pardon me, it's break time.
All right, okay. Well, if you would hold your comments for right now, we want to go into our public service announcements. And I see we have hands raised here on the AM 360 studio board. After your commentary, I want to open up the lines for other men that would like to succinctly share in this conversation. Praise be to God. And thank you for the friendly reminder, Naima Latif. Alhamdulillah.
Our job is to bring you their stories to motivate you to do the same. Join us each week hosts John Alexander and Naima Latif, as we bring you the educators, entertainers, elected officials, religious leaders, and community activists whose works are transforming this world. Find out how you can make a difference, too. Be inspired. Watch The Media Connection.
All right.
Hi, I'm Naima Latif, executive producer of the Female Solution Global Radio TV Show. We are a part of the online network of Associated Internet Radio Hosts, On Air. On Air empowers you with transformative news and interactive radio TV shows. This is such a wonderful time to be alive and to see our human family coming together as one community as a result of that powerful tool, the Internet. We can now talk directly to each other all over the world. There's no need for conflict or misunderstanding. There's no need for violence to solve our differences. We can talk to each other face to face until we reach an agreement. On Air offers a fantastic global guide to communicators from all over the world who are using their internet platforms to inspire us to strive to be our best selves in order to become the kind, compassionate, loving people we were all born to be. Once we do that, we'll see planet Earth transformed into a place of peace. Subscribe to the recommended YouTube channels, Facebook pages, and podcasts created by these Voices of Enlightenment. On Air provides daily news briefs and a weekly magazine to keep you abreast of events and opportunities. On-air news affiliates in television, radio, and print share information, insight, and interviews with notable personalities. Go to onaireverywhere.com for a daily dose of uplifting news. We're on air everywhere, online all the time.
Oh man, God sent the monthly sun bill today. This sunlight is really expensive, especially during this season. I'll probably have to work overtime to pay it.
Well, you better pay it on time. We don't want the sun to go out and we're sitting up here all day in the dark.
Wouldn't it be terrible if God charged us for sunlight? Well, thank God, the light and heat from the sun is free. So why are we paying such high bills for the energy we use in our homes? Because we don't know how to use solar energy, the free energy from the sun. You can convert your regular home to a solar energy home and save tremendously on your electric bill. Take a look at your electric bill. Wouldn't you like to reduce or possibly even eliminate that cost altogether? Let one of our solar consultants show you how. Call today, 312-849-3456. And schedule a free consultation. That's 312-849-3456.
And we are back. Praise God, Almighty God.
Do you worry about finances, family, health, job, relationships? Are you in pain? Do you feel stuck? If you answered yes to any of these questions, help is available. Don't worry, you're not alone. It's part of the human process. You only feel this way because you haven't mastered the voices in your head. No hype, just down-to-earth, solid, workable tools and techniques that you can practice daily. It's really food for the soul, whether you want to learn how not to worry about anything, reverse type 2 diabetes, publish a book, promote your product or service, or just make extra money. To take advantage of the deal of the day, go to ZeldaSpeaks.com or call 312-409-6619. Mention promo code The Female Solution and get free shipping. That's ZeldaSpeaks.com or 312-409-6619. Stop worrying today. Visit ZeldaSpeaks.com.
I'm Beata, your holistic life coach. These days, it's more important than ever to work on your physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual health. Are you consciously breathing deeply in stressful moments? Do you have a plan or daily routine to maintain balance in your awesome body? Are you struggling to be disciplined in your eating habits? When you partner with me, I'll help you develop a personalized health plan that works for your particular lifestyle. You can find out more about me at yourholisticlifecoach.com, where you can also review my 3-step protocol to guide you to abundant health. That's yourholisticlifecoach.com, and I'm Viato.
We are back, and you're listening to and watching the Female Solution Global Radio TV Show, and this is the Men Only Discussion Day, the fourth Wednesday of the month, where the men have a private discussion about the issues that are affecting our lives and particularly affecting them. And today we are talking about the aversion to marriage and what is the reason why so many are declining that sacred institution. Is it because of the system that actually becomes a legal system where you could end up in jail if you don't, say, pay child support or something else that's state enforced? Is that a fear that men have learned to have? Is it a cultural behavior that men have learned as a result of the enslavement experience and the encouragement of irresponsibility for one's own child?
I'm muted.
So we are back.
Okay. And we are back. Praise be to God. Shahir was going to offer some words of wisdom. If there is anyone on your line that has press one on their phone and want to join this conversation, we invite those on the Female Solution switchboard in Chicago. Praise be to God. Sahir, if you would, please, share with us, please.
Very briefly. So, you know, we listen, you know, as we've been discussing and listening to one another, we started off by talking about the things that create an aversion from marriage. And then we highlighted some of those things in the chronological order, you know, from then to now. And what we're talking about now is possible solutions to rectify that. So that's when the conversation of sacredness, right, and the traditional values of marriage comes into the conversation. So we didn't leave it out. We were just going from what went wrong, then, what was right then, what went wrong, and then how can we get back to what's proper, what's correct, or what's healthy for us. And so one of the things that I've noticed is how we approach one another, you know, our approach, our initial approach, what is our intention. You see, there's a misconception here in this country, in the West, that dating is a healthy dynamic. But in dating, there is no goal in that. There's no end result. You can date for 20 years. I know I have friends of mine, they've been dating for 6-7 years. I'm like, nah, man, y'all dating, y'all married. Whether you believe it or not, y'all living together, y'all sharing economics and having children. By all rights, you're married. You know, but they use the term dating to avoid the responsibilities and the identification of being married. But by all rights, you're married. You're doing everything that a married couple would do without the title of being married. So we don't date. As Muslims, we don't date. We court. And in that courtship, what we try to accomplish is a commonality first in faith, that we have the same faith, we have the same moral and religious views, because that is going to be the foundation in which you build your home, that we're on the same page spiritually. And then we work down, and then we work that down to, okay, our commonalities as individuals. Do we have the same interests? What is the purpose for this marriage? Can't be just because we like each other or we think we're cute and all of that, right? It has to be a goal in mind. And what is the goal? God has given us the institution of marriage for procreation and propagation, right, to establish his word in the land. And so if that's not the primary focus of the marriage, if it's based on having money, assets, and all those things are okay, but they're not long-standing, because guess what? Just like any other dynamic of business, if it goes bad, then it'll become about that specifically, about the money, about the assets, et cetera, et cetera. But if it's predicated on establishing family and maintaining family, and then the promotion of moral and spiritual values, right, passing that down, generational legacy of having conscious-minded people, you know, that's in your association, that's under your tutelage, then inshallah, God willing, that legacy will continue as we talk about morality, we talk about sexuality, we talk about spirituality and all of those that higher level of thinking. Somebody has to start that process. So it starts in the home. It starts with the parents. It transcends down to the children, the grandchildren, et cetera, et cetera. So it's how we approach each other. It's very important to counteract some of the misnomers or the miseducation that we've been subjected to in regards to what marriage is and why we're getting married. So I'll conclude with that. Thank you, Brother Man, for the time.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Sahir. We have our poet laureate has graced us with his presence. Praise be to God. I want to hear from our beloved brother, Bilal, the poet laureate of American Muslim 360. Assalamu alaikum, Bilal.
Wa alaikum assalam. Praise be to Allah. Alhamdulillah. Thank you to Allah for this opportunity to come together like this. So alhamdulillah. What I'm going to do, I'm just going to give some, you know, some instruction about my things to get into act, you know, to begin to break things up inside the family. Never devalue your self-worth. You should always desire to keep God first. Sometimes relationship needs a rebirth. Jealousy and envy discarded. Then you told your spouse it was just a friend. Poison say, don't let it happen again. There's no love without trust. Somebody start kicking the other person under the bus. Pay close attention. Common sense must be mentioned. Maybe it's time to get some advice before y'all begin to fight. Show the enjoyment of this world. The hereafter is best for those who live right. If this trust occurred, a point to all it does, one from his family and the other from ours. Four things go too far, and they decide to part. If they want to stay together, mutual consultation can make things better. If the couple want to reconcile, there can be no more deception in lies. I like to call it a reconciliation. But he has full knowledge and is acquainted with all things. It is very much saying, what do you think? Every road has to begin and end somewhere. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam. Thank you, Bilal. Praise be to Almighty God. We treasure your poetic advice here. Praise be to, we thank Almighty God for you. Several other men have raised their hand. Air code 210574, welcome to the Female Solution.
Assalamu alaikum, ma'am. This is a female. And
believe you me, I love you. I must adhere to the policies that we are trying to establish on the last Wednesday of the month. that that the men have a conversation among themselves. You are so valuable to us. The female is so valuable to us that her mere presence can cause us to choose our words carefully. You know, sometimes we won't be flat-foot honest because we want to impress you. So I thank you. Yes, ma'am. But
I'm glad you brothers are having a round table. I hope y'all figure something out for us.
Yes, ma'am. Wa alaikum assalam. Thank you, my sister. You are so treasured among us. Okay, error code 773-487. Please state your name and where you're calling from, please.
Yeah, good morning. It's Kufi James, KUFI James on YouTube from Chicago. An advocate of life. Love the conversations with our brothers. I agree wholeheartedly with everyone has been saying. I think we've been indoctrinated the past really 15, 20 years, and been going back longer than that, because we're under the beast. And when I mean under the beast, we're under unnatural. Can you hear me? Hello?
Yes, yes, I hear you.
Mm-hmm.
The subject matter is the aversion of to the sacred bonds of marriage.
Okay.
Yeah,
It's going to take me a little minute. Just a minute. We're under a beast, an unnatural beast. Okay? So when a man connects to a woman, they have to point out that beast. Okay? And then they have to be protected with the Spirit of God through prayer, reading the Word together, getting to, and then not making man your God. You know, the Son is the creator of the universe. The Holy Spirit is the anointing of God. God is nothing but energy from the yin and the yang, the man and woman creates this power. Okay? It's energy. And so the aversion now of us getting back to our woman is this energy that we have as men, our masculine energy, is saving the day. We have women running the governments. We have women running the towns, the cities, the mayors, and we've lost the boat because they didn't bring the masculine energy with them. Can't get into the female groups. Can't get into these organizations because it's just nothing but females. Nothing but females. We're hearing about all these females started a business, but she had a man. Now she's by herself. All these females doing that. And they did not want to include the masculine energy. And the only way you get into the party is you have a female energy as a man. Okay? To be real. So now us masculine energy seeing what has been going on, and we're stepping up and taking our woman back. And that's what we're doing right now today. So that, like our BON said, the man should be the leader. See, when people start coming out like that, they're confusing the whole family. Like when people say, "Oh, yeah, the man is supposed to be the leader," especially if a woman said, "I look with a crooked eye on that one." I thought, "Okay, wait, but yeah, that's true. The man is ahead." But guess what God says? God says, "Make her your equal." Bam.
Thank you.
Her your partner together.
Hello. Yes, yes.
Yeah, okay.
I definitely take personal note to something you said earlier, that we are in an environment. It has been described as the beast
the enemy of mankind, and he or that type of thinking, that type of influence will separate the male from the female. That is a horrible condition to be in when you're able to separate the male and the female, the mother and the wife and the husband. But they have to be aware. Praise be to God. I'm so glad that you said that. We have to be aware that we are not enemies of each other. That we have to be aware that there is a way of thinking that will attack us separately and cause us to push from each other. That is the influence of the enemy of mankind, being aware that we have forces working against us, and let us work as one body, as one force, to maintain our sacred connection to one another. It is a sacred connection, for that is how mankind benefits. And being committed to that, being aware of that, that, hey, I see where this argument is coming from. Let's step outside and see and look at its source. So I thank you. I believe that is a very important ingredient that we must employ, that we are one. We are one. And the aim is to separate the male from the female. And that is why we see our families and communities in such disarray. Thank you, my brother. We have another person on the line.
I'll finish real quick to follow what you just said. When a man, I remember 10 years ago, I was walking down the street with my children's mother. And we were walking down the street, and these European guys fell to their knees, bowing down to us. And she's like, what are we doing? What are we doing? She was trying to run away. I said, don't run. I said, they're honoring the male and the female. Now we're controlling. We're in control. And that's why they bow down.
Let me say this, that it's not just us. I know we're focused. We are African American. We are the original people. But this institution, it transcends. It transcends ethnicity. It transcends nations. This is a global phenomenon that is taking place. So, you know, I don't want to devolve into
it. We got to worry about ourselves first. We got to worry about ourselves.
Our concern, my brother, is, as I stated, an aversion to the sacred institution of marriage. I'm talking about the institution itself. Not as individuals.
I must move forward.
Pardon me, it's time for the last break.
Yes, ma'am. We'll pause now for station identification and a few important public service announcements. We ask you once again, don't touch that dial. We'll be back in a while.
Or man, if you're on the line, please call 515-605-9891. That's 515-605-9891. And Brother Kareem can open your mic. And we're going to take a quick break. And just hold on, we're going to ask you some of your thoughts about what you heard and get your thoughts after this quick break.
We have an opportunity to transform the whole global society in the next 50 years. 50 years from now, the earth will be populated by a new generation of adults, many of whom are yet unborn. Our mission is to nurture them in childhood with love, guidance, and protection, and to raise them in healthy, happy families. If we impart values of compassion, generosity, and respect for fellow human beings in the next generation of children,
they will create a world where people can live together in peace. This is our goal. Be a part of the transformation. Get your copy of the book, The Female Solution. Go to www.naimalatif.com. That's www.naimalatif.com. What happens when a group of people are kidnapped from their homes, smuggled away in chains, and held captive in a foreign land where they are tortured, raped, and forced to perform hard labor by the lash of a whip and under the constant threat of death? Slavery, the African-American psychic trauma. What happened to the doctors, writers, scientists, builders, educators, and spiritual leaders from Africa's golden age? Who did they really capture and sell into slavery? Are all African Americans suffering from psychic trauma because of a conspiracy to hide their true identities? Do you have psychic trauma? Take the test on page 22 of the book and see. Order it online today at www.naimalatif.com. That's www.naimalatif.com. And get your personally autographed copy of the book, Slavery, the African American Psychic Trauma.
Are you constantly arguing with your spouse? Are your children misbehaving and acting out? Is someone in your family abusing drugs? Have you been the victim of domestic violence? Are you grieving over the loss of a loved one? Let us help you restore serenity to your life. At Serenity Family Social Services, we understand that good mental health is a result of emotional well-being. Our goal is to assist you and your family in removing emotional distress and restoring harmony and balance to your lives. We offer individual, couples, and family counseling. I'm Howard Williams, CEO of Serenity Family Social Services. Call us today at 312-315-4820. That's 312-315-4820.
Hallelujah, greetings in the spirit of Wayo and Yah Shalom. Wayo means we are one. Yah is Hebrew sacred name for God, and Shalom means peace. I'm Evangel Mamadi Love Yah Nubian, and I'm inviting you to join me every fourth Saturday from noon to 2 p.m. Wisdom with Mamadi. Call in number 515-605-9325. Wisdom, women and supportive daughters on motherhood preparation. And spiritually speaking, men who do the will of Yah are mothers too. As a Montessori educator, author, activist, international award-winning poet, and ordained minister, females, I want you to say farewell to all things, seen and unseen, that prevent your potential. You bring forth life and give birth to babies. A kid is an animal beast with four legs. A child is a human being person with two legs. Facts can change feelings, but feelings cannot change facts. A mother teaches love. Love is the arm that reaches out and holds people, places, and things together. That's what Wisdom with Mama D is about. Join me every fourth Saturday from noon to 2 p.m. Call in 515-605-9325 to share your wisdom and love souls into shape. Remember, mother's farewell. If you don't, your child won't. And if he doesn't, society is abused. Females, you are global transformers with the power to change this world. Use it.
Hey, it's time to take charge of your health.
I'm Viata, your holistic life coach, and every Friday morning at 8 a.m. Eastern Daylight Time, I'm here on The Female Solution to empower you to make choices that will assist your evolution to abundant health. I'm also blogging every Sunday evening at 8 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time at Soul Purpose Healing, where I bring you a spiritual chiropractic adjustment to bring you back into alignment with our Creator's love, compassion, and wisdom. Join me every Friday morning at 8 a.m. and Sunday evening at 8 p.m. for a time of unity, enlightenment, and love vibration. Shalom.
Hi, I'm Naima Latif. Join me and my co-host Kareem Hamid every Wednesday morning, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. on the Female Solution Radio Show as we explore that relationship that is the foundation for our society, the relationship between men and women, husbands and wives. Join our discussion as we seek to repair broken family ties and rebuild our community. Listen online at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution. Call in and comment 515-605-9325. Press 1 to speak to our host. Or you can join us live on Facebook at www.facebook.com/the-female-solution.
And we are back. And we will be joined with our men-only discussion led by our co-host Kareem Hamid. And they've made some great points. We're going to have to leave our Facebook audience. However, continue to listen in, 515-605-9325 or 515-605-9891. And press 1 if you have something to say. Men, call in 515-605-9891 and press 1 so that the host can open your mic and get your thoughts. And for our Facebook family, we're going to leave you now, but we want you to continue to listen in and call in if you have a thought you'd like to share. And, of course, you can hear us at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution. And make sure you press 1 so that If you call in, that you press 1 if you want to speak, and you can listen in at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution. And, of course, we will continue to listen to the discussion as the men talk about
it. You can promote this idea to younger people. Let them see that, you know, you can be successful in marriage. You can be happy in a marriage, you know, inshallah.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Juan Houston, we haven't heard from you in a while. If you Dr. Adonis Kennedy, if there is something that you would like to share, your mics are open. This is a conversation. Praise be to God.
Well, in closing, this is Juan Houston. As we look for a solution as in today's problem. And a lot of us are, and I say this very respectfully, I don't want anybody to take what I'm saying wrong. We view how we deal with situations basically from our background. I hear some people are Muslim, some may be Christian, some may be this or that. I grew up as a Christian. I'm now a student of the mystery system, and I study astrology, astronomy, and all these, whatever the world has to offer, I study. And so a lot of times we approach things from basically our environment, our geographical location, things of that nature. But one thing that I found that is definitely universal is mathematics. 2 + 2 = 4 everywhere in the world. I don't care where you go, that never changes. And I said, I would say this. Outside of being the creator and organizer of the People's Law Study Group, I'm also the creator of the Know Thyself Radio Network, Know Thyself Radio Show that aired on Blog Talk. And I've heard a lot of talk today, and most of it focuses on the outer forces. And anybody know me, I always go back to accountability and responsibility. As my uncle always said, our situation and where we are today may not be our fault, but it is our problem. So therefore, we must seek the solution. And one thing that we can definitely do to solve the issues as it relates to marriage is starting with the man in the mirror, and that is knowing yourself. If you do not know yourself, and you'd be surprised how many people walk around and have no clue who they really are, you cannot know God if you don't even know yourself. You cannot know man if you don't know yourself. So if you don't know yourself, how can you properly function in a marriage? You know, even in astrology, anybody study astrology, know anything about astrology. When it comes to marriage and when it comes to love and romance, both of those are in different houses. Because marriage looks at it as a business as opposed to romance and finance. So when you come to that and you start dealing with numbers, if the equation does not fit, as they say, then you must acquit. If the numbers doesn't work, then it's not going to work. I mean, you've got elements, earth, wind, fire, and water. We have to look at those type of things and what goes well together. We also have this little small, still voice inside that speaks to us that we ignore. And when we ignore that, we pay the price. I got married at 26 years old. I spent $15,000 on one of the most beautiful weddings that people sometimes talk about to this day. But I stood there at the altar with this feeling that I was making a wrong move inside. But I pressed past that feeling, and because I pressed past that feeling, I had to pay a penalty that lasted for years. And so if you want to do anything as far as solving outside of all this stuff and the designs that has been set forth and the traps that has been set forth, begin to know who you are. Once you know who you are, you can solve whatever riddle or whatever thing that comes at you. Don't go and tell a woman, and you know that you like several women, that you're going to be monogamous, and you already know in your heart you're not going to be monogamous. You know, these are the type of things that need to come out, and you'd be surprised what somebody may or may not accept. If you be you, you have a right to be yourself. And that way, the person that you're with, they know who you are, you know who they are, and everything is up front on the table. That's my comment.
Yes, sir. I agree. We have to be honest with each other, and matters are judged by intention. You know, matters are judged by intention. And what do we intend when we approach each other, inviting to the sacred bonds of marriage? What is our intentions? There was a time in this life whereby when a man would approach another man's daughter for marriage, the husband, the father of that female or the brothers of that female would ask that man, what is your intent? What is your intentions? See, she wasn't just left on her own. There were people that had a concern for her. And they addressed those concerns concerning the character of this person. That goes for male and female. Now, this is not just men that come with corrupt intentions. Corruption is not gender-based. There are women that have approached marriage with the wrong intent. What can I get? How can I get? And they use mechanisms or their sexual prowess to reach an end that is not beneficial for that marriage. And witnessing that, both sexes witnessing that, then they come to an erroneous conclusion that marriage is not for me. But you as an individual, you do the necessary homework. Like Imam Abaya mentioned, it's too impersonal. Just going online or you can ask someone, say, well, yes, I'm getting married. Oh, yeah? Well, when did you meet him? 3 months ago. 3 months? Based on the rest of your life? You are basing 3 months? So there needs to be the proper time to investigate the character, the inner content of that person. Are they trustworthy? Are they honest? Do we have the same shared goals? See, so we want to strengthen this institution of marriage. It is a sacred institution. I see we have someone else on the line. I want to open up your mic, Erica. Wait a minute. I haven't heard from Warren Houston lately. Warren, would you? Oh, I could please speak and say something on this marriage. I mean, on this subject matter, the aversion,
yes, sir,
of the institute
that last
marriage.
That last comment, it was me.
Are you there?
Yes, yes, sir. I'm on listening mode and taking notes.
Yes, sir. Brother Kareem, that last comment was my statement about accountability and responsibility and about equations and mathematics. That was me.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir. If we see that it don't fit, don't force it. If you're being evenly yoked is very important. A
yes.
Commonality, you know, is very important. Don't just overlook, say, oh, well, I'll correct him or her later on.
I think
that's what you've seen.
You were waiting for Dr. Dorrance Dance is the last one you wanted to speak.
Yes, ma'am, please. Dr. Doris Vance, if you would, we have about 3 minutes of broadcast time left. The floor is yours before we close out this conversation. Dr. Doris Vance, I don't think he is hearing me. He's not
Dorrance Kennedy.
Yes. Excuse me. Dorrance Kennedy, I'm sorry. Yes, if you would, please.
Yes, well, I've really enjoyed being part of the conversation. So as I think we all know, we just have a lot of work to do. But like I said initially, I think we just cannot leave out the spiritual aspect and the historical aspect of how we found ourselves in the position that we are today. So the mass incarceration, the welfare system, being in a sexually saturated society. So we really need to try to teach our children and people in our circle about the importance and the sacredness of marriage. And we're really living in a society that strays away from commitment. And people seems like they don't have the same willingness to sacrifice as maybe in the past because we're distracted by all these other things. But I've really enjoyed the conversation, and we really have a lot of work to do because the African proverb says that the ruin of a nation begins in the homes of its people. Thank you.
Most definitely. Thank you. Okay, we got about 1 minute and 42 seconds left. I want to use this time to thank each and every last one of you that volunteered and agreed to have this conversation between males. I learned a lot. It is very therapeutic, and I applaud everyone's honesty and their candor in sharing. Praise be to God for you. We thank God for you. And we look forward to the next male conversation, the last Wednesday in the month of March. We hope that all of you would be present. And with that, I leave you with the greetings of peace. Of assalamu alaikum. May peace be unto you. Thank you all.
God, peace be upon you every first Sunday from 1 p.m. to 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, uniting family members into one. We are all one. Once we feel the oneness,
we've come to the end of our show today, but you can hear every show in the archives at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution. You can also hear today's show on the Female Solution Facebook page. Go to www.facebook.com/the-female-solution. Leave your comments about today's show. You can always reach me on my website at www.naimalatif.com. That's www.naimalatif.com. Watch our TV shows, listen to our radio shows, order our books, and be sure to get your copy of the book, The Female Solution. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to thank all of you who participated in today's discussion. And to our global family listening from all around the world, we say thank you. To our family in China, xiexie. India, zanyaba. Japan, arigato. Korea, kamsahamnida. Russia, spasiba. Germany, danke. Poland, dziękuję. France, merci. Spain, gracias. Italy, grazie. Egypt, shukran. Ghana, medasi. Nigeria, eshe. South Africa, ngiyabonga. Senegal, jeret. Kenya, asante. Israel, toda. Pakistan, shukriya. Afghanistan, Tashakur. Saudi Arabia, shukran. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Thank you, and may peace be upon you and the mercy of God and God's blessing.